Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
It's your boy Sam at More Life One.
And today we got two special guests with us. We got Nikki. Go ahead and give them your social media.
Hey, it's Nikki, and it's Yes, This Is Nikki. Yes, I'm That Nikki on Twitter, and Yes, This Is Nikki on Instagram.
Great. And Jen, go ahead and give them your social.
I am actually Jen Knoll 2013.
That's great. So we have two ladies with us. Jen, she's born and raised in Memphis. She went to Florida State, and then she said she came right back to Memphis. So she clearly loves the area, and she has some knowledge on the Memphis Tigers and has had an opportunity to really know the impact that Mike Norvell has had on the city. Nikki, Atlanta. I don't know, born and raised, but I know she's from Atlanta. Also went to Florida State, but has a background knowledge on just about everything else based on the conversations that we've had. So we thought they'd be a very good duo to get together to give us some really good insight on Florida State's new coach. So everybody, y'all ready?
I'm ready.
We had to really mix it up with these ladies, man. We had to get ladies on the pod. Not enough ladies on podcasts for Florida State. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that you guys have a commitment to diversity.
Hey, all right. I didn't bring those bras for no reason, okay? We in here.
All right. So I actually want to start with you, Jen, just being from Memphis and having an opportunity and a little bit more background. What was it like? I mean, we saw the city turn out for the for Memphis in the championship game. What do you know about Mike Norvell and his ability to really call plays and coach a football team?
Well, you know, for me, you know, when Justin Fuente left, which he came to a program that was basically dead. I mean, we were winning 1-2 games a year. It was awful. You know, Fuente brought it up. But Mike Norvell came in here and nobody really knew who he was. You know, I mean, he's from Arizona State. He was at Central Arkansas for a little bit, but he came in this place and really just embraced the community. He not only kept the program winning the way Justin Fuente had it, but he made it better. And now they're 12-1. They won their conference, which they haven't done since like the 50s, you know. He was amazing. He was amazing here. He's been amazing to watch. He embraces the community. His players just love him, respect him. I don't know if you guys saw it on social media today, but the players that were coming out writing him notes and leaving him, you know, these messages, just thanking him. I mean, I didn't really see a whole lot of that before. You know, the last time, whenever you see coaches leave, you don't usually see these players and then the community just embracing him and saying, you know, good luck. And it's no hate. It's just love for this guy. I mean, he's really just, people just really respect him.
Yeah, we did. I thought that was something that I noticed as well, that a lot of his players came out and thanked him and wished him luck going forward, which is something that, you're right, you don't see a lot of times when players are being left and you know, the coach is going on to a better situation. So,
I think you know, he was honest with them, and I think he was honest with the University of Memphis. I had told, you know, I had been hearing for a while that, you know, he's been in this mix the whole time. He was honest with the University of Memphis. The University of Memphis actually last Saturday pretty much was working on the fact that he was leaving. And it was never going to be Ole Miss and it was never going to be Arkansas. So I kind of, you know, can add 1 + 1, and that meant it was more than likely going to be Florida State. But, you know, he was always honest with them. So he's a respectable guy. This isn't somebody who just, you know, I mean, he loves his players. He can call, like, I mean, just the games. He's so involved and he's so, and really his sideline demeanor is something that I even noticed yesterday. I don't know if you guys were watching the game. Did you guys watch the game yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So I don't know if you saw towards the end when there was like 12 players on the field and he was, you know, there should have been a penalty against Cincinnati and it kind of, you know, resulted in them getting a touchdown and extra, you know, whatever. But I know we've seen previous coaches that was just like, lose it. Well, that's not really Mike. He's so involved with everything, but he's still, he acts like an actual adult in the room, even though he's 38. You know, I mean, I don't know. For me, it's just been a pleasure to watch him for 4 years. And he's really an amazing person, amazing coach, and people just really look up to him.
Oh, that's very good insight. Thank you. Nikki, what did you feel? You saw him play the last game. I don't know how much background information you have, but I do know you've seen him play recently. You know the hire. What was your overall, I guess, opinion on the hire when it first came down? What's your thoughts?
Being objective, I think he emerged as a candidate from the very beginning. I think that we had our sights on, for lack of better words, a splash hire, right? We did not handle the firing of Willie very well. And I think that due to our need to make a splash hire in order to salvage class, in order to kind of keep up with the brand of Florida State, we needed to figure out what's option one, 1A, 1B, and go down to options 2 and 3. Where my personal opinion, I don't believe that Norvell was the one and only option. I strongly believe that he probably was option 3. But he was a caliber of, you know, our options 1 and 2, right? So I feel like this hire has the potential to be really great. I think that we have to, again, be objective in our approach, only because some of us are still mulling over having to do another coach search within 2 years after coming off of having a legendary coach and a head coach in waiting. This is still unfamiliar and uncharted territory for Florida State, whereas some schools are more proficient in this because of their turnover. You know, we've been very, very blessed that this hasn't, you know, been a constant for us. Based on what I know about Mike Norvell since he come up over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, I think it's good that he's young. He's literally 1 year older than me. He's 38 years old. He comes back, you know, with experience from Pitt, Arizona State. You know, I think even Jen mentioned Central Arkansas, and what he's been able to do at Memphis over the last, 4 years. It's been nothing short of impressive. I think that it is going to be an uphill climb, and I don't think that, anyone is naive to that point. We know that, you know, while all the warm and fuzzies are coming in for Mike, this is literally hitting the ground running and making sure that you are coming in with your plan. And, you know, I hate calling it a 90-day plan. You know, you're coming in with your action plan of what you need to do here in order to put a good staff in place, in order to, you know, try to get Tribe 19, Tribe 20 into a good spot where we can kind of, you know, land and fill in some gaps here for development. And then, of course, get the buy-in of the current team, because now we've had 2 to 3 different culture changes that'll be taking place. And I think that he did an amazing job of nailing the press conference today. I mean, he addressed some points. I think that some of the canned questions that came from the media gave him an opportunity to provide some insight. I think that he was able to kind of address some of our concerns as it comes from, you know, recruiting the state of Florida, overall recruiting, you know, him being able to address the team, even with the interactions on social media and you know, meeting with the team first before even coming into the presser. I think that, you know, again, you've seen a lot of the warm and fuzzies, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer of this. I just want to continue to be objective and say that initially, my feelings about the hire is a wait and see approach. I feel like he's coming from a good caliber, and this gives us an opportunity to really build. But I want our fan base and want, you know, others to understand that we are truly in a rebuild. This is not a reload situation, and we are still going to have to overcome differences in administrations.
That's interesting. So Nick, let me ask you a question. Do you think that because of how the coaching search was handled, do you think that it fractured some relationships within the administration, like within the booster and the fan base? Well, not the fan base, but the booster base, basically.
I can speak for myself and a couple of my other booster peers that I've been in contact with, as well as some of the parents of our current players. And I can say that there's definitely differences of opinions from the boosters. You know, we want to, of course, carry on the winning tradition. I never think that it's good to fire a coach midseason, no matter if there's four games left or one game left. You let them finish the season. Because in my mind, you know, we wrap up the Florida game and nothing has really changed in those 2 weeks, you know, in the 2 weeks since the bye week and where we are now, right? You wrap up, you conduct all of your searches and all your footwork on the back end, and you keep it moving. So I'll say that there's been a difference of opinion, but I think the overall majority believes that Florida State should be winning because we come from a winning tradition and a winning caliber. And I think that's where we're all united. We want to have a program that we're proud of. We want to have a program where we're continuing to fundraise and that we're continuing to challenge for a national championship every year.
Okay, so Jen, you know, I heard Nikki talk about the press conference, and I must say we were all a little impressed by the press conference. It's difficult because I came into the press conference with no expectations whatsoever, right? I mean, we've heard all the coach speak, we've heard all the platitudes, we've heard all the everything, right? We over the last, you know, lethal simplicity, do something, no excuses. You know, we've heard a lot over the last, you know, 24 months, but probably longer than that. So, you know, I wasn't expecting to hear anything that I thought I'd be impressed by, but I still left that press conference impressed. What were your thoughts on it?
I absolutely love. I mean, I do love this hire, and I think I may not be the most objective person to talk about him, but only because, you know, honestly, you know, I heard all the talking heads basically would say, you know, he's not going to win the press conference. And I don't know if you guys heard that same criticism basically was, well, he's not going to win the press conference, but he's a great, you know, great coach. And from what I've known about Mike is that he is going to win that press conference, and he's going to impress you, and he's going to win boosters over, and he's going to win over the people that'll open up those checkbooks, because that's what he does at Memphis. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, Memphis is a hard place to deal with. We're about as dysfunctional at Memphis as Florida State is right now in their, admin office. Seriously. So I know people can't really believe that, but it's true. Mike Norvell won over the boosters, the people that, you know, spend money, basically like Cal did, like John Calipari did. The same people that spent money on Cal absolutely would have dropped, you know, they would give Mike whatever he wanted. So for me, with that press conference, that's the exact same Mike Norvell that I've seen here for 4 years. He was a little better than I'm going to be honest. I thought he was a little bit better than I thought he would be, because he did seem a little nervous once it started, but then he got right into his thing, and that's exactly what he does. He can do that. And the thing is, what I loved, I don't know if you guys heard him say that about playing fast. You can play fast but go in the wrong direction.
Yep, heard that.
To me, I was just like, that's him. And he really does love special teams, y'all. Like that. I love his special teams at Memphis. It's fantastic.
Points that special teams part is important, right? Because I think we've struggled with field
position. Oh, God, yeah. I think
special teams has been an Achilles heel for us for the past two seasons, especially with all the fair catches and not really creating lanes and creases for our players to, you know, get those touchdowns. So I think that was important.
And that's something he really stresses is special teams. And at Memphis, if you've ever watched, like, even, I mean, you guys watched the game yesterday, but the games during the year, you usually, if you go to a Memphis game, you can always see a punt return for a touchdown, you know, or a kickoff return for a touchdown. It's so much fun, you know, and Mike has just been, I mean, that's like his thing. And when he said that about Florida State, he always watched Florida State and their special teams were a big thing. And that's really something he wants to get back to. I loved that point he made. I really did.
No, I agree. We've done two of these already. And the point I think I've brought up on every single one of them is the special teams. That was the thing that really won me over, mostly outside of everything else. Because again, for an offense that struggles a little bit, for a line that has some deficiencies, even though I do think they'll be better next year, I think when you look at the fact that, special teams is a key factor. That means you're winning those hitting yardage battles. You're winning some of those. You're able to get points when your offense may be a little constipated. So you end up in a situation where now I can get a punt return for the touchdown, or I can get a punt return that flips the field, which now sets my offense up in a good in a winnable situation, as opposed to starting every drive on the 25-yard line, or as opposed to starting every drive deep in your own territory. So that was the thing I thought that really stuck out to me. And then when he had the background and the track record to then go along with that, those were wins for me.
Well, and I think the other thing about Mike Norvell is that he builds, he does run an up-tempo offense. He does like to use the spread a little bit. But for me, it's that he builds his offense around his playmakers. He's not going in saying, this is what we're going to run. He's going to watch what you do. And if he has to change it up based off of who he has playing, he's more than capable of doing that, and he's been successful at doing that. This year, he's had some really good quarterbacks and everything. This year, Brady White, he's been a little iffy, but he was able to change that. He wasn't great at the first game. They only beat Ole Miss, 15-10, first game of the year. Not an explosive offense. He changed it and has actually adapted. He adapts to his players. He goes to the strengths of those players and we'll adjust it based off that. And having a coach that makes adjustments now is going to be something that we haven't seen in a while, really.
Okay, let's segue to what are the next steps with the Mike Norvell hire? Like, we got the hire in. I think he's here. I think he's going to be here to stay. So let's, Nikki, what do you think about the next steps?
So if I'm Mike Norvell, one of the things I need to overcome right now is, while I have an impressive winning record, if I'm Mike Norvell, people are going to bring up that I'm 0-3 in bowl games, right? And where we truly, truly, hold our head high is that we've had, previously we held the record for the longest bowl streak. And we need to get back to that, right? So I think it was announced today that we'll be in El Paso playing Arizona State for our bowl game. But then, our goal needs to be, what's going to be our goal? How do we get to 9-10 wins at a minimum, right? And I'm not saying that's going to be next season, because obviously we have to understand, how we're going to fill our deficiencies, right? So, you have to overcome that 0-3 record as a head coach. Like Jen mentioned, he runs a spread offense. It's very tight end heavy, a lot of blocking. Kind of reminds me of O'Leary and Izzo. It looks like, a lot of, he uses his tight end in a lot of different formations. And, so that's an area that we're pretty good in, but we have to recruit that position well, right? We definitely have to address the trenches. So I would, have to have an honest assessment of current talent. Understand what we need to do in order to fill those gaps at OT, what we need to do to fill the trenches at DT, because as I'm looking at, our schedule from the ACC as well as, out of conference, I see Florida. Florida is loading up in the trenches. Like I'm getting annoyed at looking how they're loading up, right? I'm looking at Clemson. Their Clemson's D line gets drafted every year, first rounders, second rounders. So I'm looking at, these are the teams that we have to play in order to be on par. We have to, address the trenches from the O-line as well as the D-line, assembling a quality staff, right? We have to make splash hires. I think a couple of reporters, Ira or somebody else, might have asked Mike about recruiting in the state of Florida, which, again, is a big thing for us, especially being a Big Three school. And I think we have to make sure that if Mike is not the guy that we want recruiting in Florida, or he's not the strongest in Florida, that he's getting people on the staff that can relate to those moms, those dads, those parents, those extended relatives, and be able to get the talent that we're looking for. And I think he stresses fit, right? It's more about a fit. So it doesn't have to be that 5-star. It can be a 3-star that you can develop. We want that 4-5-star talent, of course. But I think he even stressed in the press conference today about having a fit. As far as his coaching tree, I'm impressed because he has Lanning, I think is on the defensive side at UGA. I think Jimbo was able to get, his offensive coordinator, Dickey, from Memphis to go to A&M. And there's a couple of other coaches that, is on Norvell's coaching tree that I feel that he's going to do a good job of making some splash hires that'll get us, the top recruit.
The Notre Dame OC, Chip Long.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Auburn OC.
Yeah, so there's a couple of individuals that he's.
Oh, I think we lost Nikki. But I think that he can make. I think he's gonna make good hires. I think they're gonna surround him with the right people. I'm just curious: is the administration gonna back him the way that they need to back him?
I'm back.
but to pick up where I left off, I just think that he's going to be able to assemble a good staff that's going to help us to, of course, try to salvage again Tribe 20, and be able to go into Tribe 21 and be able to get us back to having top 10 classes. And I think that's still going to be an uphill battle because it's all about building those relationships, and where there may be some existing relationships, you know, we have to understand that. Again, this is a rebuild and not necessarily a reload.
Yeah, so we was just asking Nikki, do you think that he's going to be given the things that he needs to have to win at Florida State? Because the last coach we had, it wasn't a lot of support, you know what I'm saying? And I know Jimbo wanted a little bit more, and he had to kind of beg and fight for it. Is Mike going to still have that same uphill battle? I think that's the big key to me.
Yes, so from my point of view, I think it may not be as daunting of a task for Mike. I think the administration has a little bit of its face from not being able to provide adequate finances or resources towards the previous administration. And I feel like, and this is just a Nikki speculation, I strongly believe that no coach is going to come into that same situation with those same circumstances without outlining what their needs are in order to accept the job. Almost like conditions, right? Like, I am willing to sign this offer on the conditions of boom, 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 right? Which I also say from the Renaissance, everybody's heard about the Renaissance Project and the 20 individual boosters that were able to contribute. I think President Thrasher has sent every email letter and pigeon that he could carry out to every booster and every contributor asking for us to increase donations, things of that nature. I think a lot of actions have been implemented or have been taken in order to help the next coach to be successful. And I am hoping that they give him the opportunity to do that, because I believe the deal was announced to be, you know, someone said 4 years, some said 6 years, until I see it in some type of credible resource. I'm willing to lean that we're in a 4 to 6 year relationship with Mike. And at this point, my only concern would be the new administration that's going to come into Florida State. I think Thrasher and Coburn are going to be out within the next 1 to 2 years. And if Norvell has not produced, I think the new administration may, you know, start looking into options of exercising certain clauses that may be into this agreement, because of course every athletic director likes to hire their own specific, you know, coaches and, you know, for respective sports. And again, we were spoiled because we had Stan Wilcox for, you know, this time. And now that we have Coburn and with the impending, you know, retirements for these individuals and a whole new administration coming in, that would be my only concern is, you know, if Norvell is not given enough time, if that new administration comes in and starts deciding that we have to go through this fun exercise again in 2 to 3 years. But hopefully on the positive side, hoping that if Norvell is able to come in here and make a splash, you know, you don't want to necessarily fix something if it's not broken, right? So I'm hoping that he does get the time that he needs to implement his scheme from both sides of the ball and be able to continue to develop coaches. And I think if I'm Mike Norvell, I'm trying to, you know, go on that Saban route, right? I think Saban has, you know, preached over the last year that he wants to start developing consistency, because he basically has the Dick Saban coaches clinic, right? Where coaches come there for a year or two, they're an analyst or they're some role, and they go on to be head coach somewhere else or go and work in the NFL or whatever the case may be. So
yeah, mercenaries. You want to get away from mercenaries.
He wants to develop that consistency. And even though he lost two games this year, he's attributing those coaching changes to not being there to fully develop his team. And I think Mike Norvell may go that path as well, where he wants to have his staff that's going to stick with him for a minimum of 2 to 3 years and be able to help develop the guys that he brings in. I also think that, you know, and again, I don't want to harp too much on social media. I want there to be patience and understanding that there's a certain level of expectation that he's going to have for his players. There's a certain level of professionalism that he wants them to exude. And I think that it can help, as well as I'm hoping that he embraces, you know, the eccentricities of all of his players, right? From, you know, vernacular, from, you know, just culture and things of that nature. And I think he has done a great job of that at Memphis, because there's been many, many players that have tweeted, you know, thanks and their gratitude towards him taking a chance on them and being able to, you know, embrace them and their families. And I'm hoping that that continues to carry on, where it is a family first type of atmosphere, where he is a player's coach. But he's able to, of course, have that assertiveness that he needs in order to lead and guide, you know, all of the players to be the best version of themselves, as he reiterated in the presser.
All right, Jen, same question.
Yeah.
Do you think he get the support? Do you think that Norvell will get the support from that?
I do. Just because technically, I kind of know somebody close to this situation. Mike he wants to hire a really good staff, and he wanted staff pool money. So I think when you guys see this contract, you're going to be like, wow, this is very FSU friendly. Mike is probably not going to be as highly paid as Willie Taggart was on his annual salary. But, you know, from what I've been told, it is like a 6-year deal, and he's going to get bonuses after the third year. But he really wanted the money to go into his assistant pool. So I think he is going to get the support, and I think that that's actually part of the reason he got the job, was his ability to hire coaches. He's amazing at that. You know, he's lost 18 assistants in 4 years at Memphis.
Right.
And he doesn't just, you know, he keeps winning. He hires somebody else. And that actually, you know, that when he hires an offensive coordinator, or quarterback coach, or defensive line coach, or offensive line coach, or defensive coordinator, that group actually gets better than it was under the previous guy who went on to another Power 5 job. So when you look at that, he's so good at evaluating coaches, evaluating the talent. You know, Kenneth Gainwell is this running back, you know, from Memphis. Well, actually, he's from a small town in Mississippi, but he plays for Memphis. He was a 2-star. And if you guys saw that kid last night,
no, he was
so
special.
Yeah. He's been so explosive this year. You know, he evaluates the talent, he produces the talent, and he does that for coaches too. That's the thing that, you know, that really when the Florida State administration first talked to him, you know, that's really what came off the page to them, was he interviews so well. He comes in with a detailed plan. He says, this is what I want to do for your program. This is what I want to do for fundraising. And that's something that Mike is excellent at. He has a plan for booster, you know, to talk to boosters, what we can do, how we're going to do it, what we need to do, what we need to do going forward. And then not just that, but the football program itself. This is what I plan on doing to build up the program. This is what I plan on recruiting, where I need to go. What are the deficiencies on your team? This is the area we all need to work on. And that's something that Mike just comes in right in and tells you. And he can make that plan. He knows what group of guys we've got to get in. And recruiting in Florida is not going to be, you know, he hasn't done it. He hasn't had to do it. And I think that's one of his biggest drawbacks, I think, from what we've all agreed, right?
Well, I don't.
I don't
consider that a bad thing. I know a lot of people do, but I believe that when you go to a school, you should recruit in that school's geography. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you should make inroads in that school's geography. So I don't get mad about that, because if I'm Memphis coach, I want to recruit with the people that I'm gonna need support from. So if
Memphis is hard. You know, Memphis is hard to recruit to because, you know, it shares like a territory with a Tennessee, with an Ole Miss, with Mississippi State, with Arkansas, Kentucky comes down here, you know, and so it's hard to recruit, you know, the higher tier players and say, hey, you can come to Memphis, but we can't win national champions. You know, we can't do that here. So it's really hard to get those guys to choose Memphis. Now, one thing he is, you know, has been the beneficiary of is he can get school kids into Memphis that, you know, maybe not be able to get into an Auburn, which is where the Coxie kid was, or no, the Coxie kid was LSU. You know, he had committed to LSU, but he couldn't get in because of academic reasons. Now, you know, that's something he was able to thrive on at Memphis. But to me, that just kind of shows that he knows how to do the game. And for me, I think he'll probably keep Ron Dugans on the staff. And, of course, Odell. We all know that. Because I think he wants to get that experience into recruiting Florida. He wants to keep at least a couple of guys on the staff so that, you know, they can keep those relationships going. But I do think he's going to get that support. And I think once you guys see how the contract comes out, because, you know, you kind of hear it secondhand, third hand, what, you know, however else you want to hear it. But I do think it's a pretty favorable contract for Florida State. He, but he is going to get their support. And he did outline exactly what he would need as far as assistance and commitment to his program in order to take the job.
Okay. So I'm going to wrap with one final question. So we know it's early, but what would be some of your expectations? What are some of your initial expectations and thoughts going into next season? So let's assume he gets everything that he needs to be successful. He gets the staff he wants. He has the money, the boost of support. What would be your, I guess, minimum expectations for next year? And I don't even talk from necessarily a record. I don't even talk from an overall record standpoint. I'm talking more from a what would you want to see?
I'm going to beat a dead horse here, right? We're keeping Odell. We got to get some DTs. If we, you know, are going on this offensive line, we have to, you know, get some OTs. Like, that is literally my primary concern, because the offenses that I'm seeing from the AAC, everything I'm seeing about the high scoring, high powering, like he said earlier, right? He likes up tempo, but you don't want to go, you know, you have you'll tend to go nowhere fast, right? If you don't have the right personnel. So my immediate thoughts are, you know, my expectations are that we address those needs. I think the national media has sang this tune as well about, you know, it's going to be hard to get, you know, quality quarterbacks, quality recruits to come here if we don't have people that can block for them. And it's going to be hard on our defense if they're out there, you know, out there for 40 minutes, you know, in a 60-minute game, right? So my immediate expectation is for us to make some really great hires on the staff, be able to get those guys that are able to recruit, and we fill those trenches, and then from there, everything falls into place.
Hmm. Well, my expectation would be to sign a quarterback. Would be nice. I think that's kind of something we need, right? I mean, come on. Right. I would like a quarterback and maybe beat Wake Forest, or I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to give a low expectation here. I would like to not lose awful games by two, or, you know, because we had 11 or 10 guys on the field or just something ridiculous.
It sounds like
see it coaching.
I was just gonna say, it sounds like you're saying you want them to be competent. You want them to look like a well coached team. Like, winning or losing is not necessarily big. Yep, that's correct.
You want somebody that's disciplined, right? You want people that are gonna show up and do their job, like, and go extra, right?
I can't deal with this. You know, I mean, Florida State, by the way, this year should have beaten Virginia, should have beaten Boise State, should have beaten Wake Forest. I mean, we just need some competency.
But let's also be honest here. The team is not good. You can put any coach in here right now, and on this current roster, the team is not good. Are we good enough to win those games that you mentioned? Yes, we are good enough to win those games because we had opportunities to win them. But the team is just right now, the current team that we have, they're just not good. And that's no slight on them, because it's up to the coaches to develop them, right?
So, yeah, and I mean, we've got to sign a quarterback. That's just really – we haven't signed one in 2 years. They've got to sign a quarterback.
If you get someone to protect them, that's what I'm saying. If you're signing up quality offensive linemen, people will come here. Like when we had the whole thing come up with, you know, Jalen Hurts, when you had Justin Fields, you had these quarterbacks that were in the transfer portal, and everybody's like, oh, come to Florida State. Who's going to block for these guys? Exactly. If we had an average offensive line, we might have had a shot. But if you don't fill those trenches, you're not going to get a quality quarterback.
The right tackle for Memphis, if you watch the game last night, who's amazing, by the way, I believe he's up as a graduate transfer.
Welcome, young man, if you're listening.
We need you.
I'm like, look, there is a sale going on right now in the transfer portal, and we need to be in there picking them up, literally.
Well, and to be honest, that's the great thing about Mike Norvell, because at Memphis, that's something he really had to do a lot of, you know, because like I said, you can't recruit against these SEC teams around here. It's hard to. So he did a lot of transfers. He did a lot of the transfer portals. He's had a lot of success with that, a lot of success with people who, you know, couldn't get in, of course, because of grades. But that is something he's used to, and I'm hoping he's sitting at his computer right now on it, because, you know, that's something he's going to have to hit on, as far as especially with the offensive line, because you're right. No quarterback's going to come here and be behind that line at all.
Nope, I agree.
With all that gray hair he got, I'm pretty sure he don't sleep. Like, he look like he never sleeps. I just look at him, that dude, like he's 38, look like he's going on 95. Like, he's that dude's a grinder. He's a grinder.
So, question. Any other questions? Any other questions from the ladies, or any other final points that the ladies want to make?
Good. No, I mean, I do feel it was a great hire. I honestly said 2 years ago, before we hired Willie, this was something that I said 2 years ago, was maybe we should look at Mike Norvell, because he was doing some things at Memphis, and I'm sitting here watching him. And actually, John Thrasher said that today, that somebody put him on his radar 2 years ago. And I'm thinking, yeah, because Mike Norvell did not take the phone call from Ole Miss or from Arkansas at all. He only took this call. Like, this was it for him. And I really feel like it's a good hire. I'm not saying he's going to go win national championships. I do feel it's a good fit for him. And honestly, I hope that the Florida State fan base just gives him the chance, because I know that we gave Willie, as far as the fan base is, you know, the administration may not have, but I know as a fan base, you know, we sold out the spring game, did all this stuff. And I just hope they give the same chance to Mike, because we're getting a really good one. And as a fan base, we're very lucky. And as a fan base for the Memphis community, I can tell you right now, they are very sad today. So yesterday I walked in even to the liquor store, and I had my Florida State sweatshirt on, and they were like, no, you can't come in here. You're the enemy today. We're not serving you any liquor. And I was like, oh, damn, you know. But no, I mean, the fan base here just loves him. I just hope that we give him the same opportunity.
All right, Nikki.
All right.
Yeah, and if, my last words are, you know, again, I think I've said it enough. We have to address the trenches, and I think ultimately, not to beat a dead horse here, but I think again, the administration has to prove that they are competent in what they're doing and hiring. You know, coaches to basically lead our team. I mean, just as an example, Brian Kelly in Notre Dame, he literally sets a goal every year. It's Faith Family National Championship. And I'm hoping that with Mike coming here and his mantra being climb, that we're able to continue to, you know, exceed expectations. We're able to shut some of our haters up, and that we're able to embrace him and give him the opportunity to win. I think that, you know, at this point, we're willing to do the things that we need to do in order to make sure that he's suited to be competent. And I'll be honest, I am measuring him on the same 21 games that Willie was measured on, because the administration has set that precedent that 21 games is the minimum to address whether the coach is the right hire or not. So I'm hoping that we we'll have this conversation a year or two from now, and we're actually celebrating that we have made a full turnaround and that we are able to return to the prominence of Florida State football.
There you go. Yeah. So, Sam, you got anything?
So I do have a little bit of news that I just found out. Did anybody else hear that Dabo has interviewed with the Carolina Panthers?
Well, no.
I did not know that. I find it interesting, though. That's interesting. I might look.
Yeah. Anyway, I just got a text message from this friend of mine that works for Rivals, and I was going, oh, okay. That might be a good thing.
Please, Dabble, take that. Yeah, yeah. I think he's a great fit for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, me too. Best job ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Take that.
And you know what? He should take Brent Venables with him.
He should. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they're about to lose their coordinators anyway. Jeff Scott looks like he might have beaten out Willie Taggart at USF.
Yes, yeah. He's going to USF. And then there's another gentleman that's going to be joining the staff at Arkansas.
Well, I think Willie was never going to go to USF because I think that from what he was told, that was he needed to go to a bigger program and kind of learn. So I expect him to be somewhere like Alabama or Michigan or somewhere like that. I mean, that's what
he
I expect.
He won't be at Michigan because Harbaugh is going to Harbaugh plays Bama for their bowl game. And I feel like they're going to, you know, there's not even a return trip to Ann Arbor for Harbaugh. They booked him one way.
Harbaugh's not going anywhere. Harbaugh's not going.
Well, I mean, you know, so Jeff Scott's going to go to USF. Tony Elliott might be in Missouri, right?
Oh.
I wouldn't take that job out, Elliott. Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, and if Dabo goes to the Panthers, hey. That
you honestly may get back just because, you know, the powerhouse goes down. So no, it's perfect time.
We have like a bigger win this weekend than we thought. Manny is still at Miami. Hello. You know, I think another thing is, you know, with Dan Mullen, you know, he's winning at Florida, but he's not really recruiting great. Let's be honest.
Not for 10-win Florida teams.
Well, that's going to change.
No.
They beefed up recruit. That's going to change.
No. And I'll be honest, Mullen's not the recruiter. It's always been his staff. And I'm telling you right now, like, if you go and look at their, well, you can't really look at their recruiting board, but I'm telling you, if you go and just look at the defensive side of the ball, we are in for a uphill climb in order to overcome that alone, just from a Florida State perspective. But they're loading up in the trenches. They got a couple of recruits for the upcoming class. After the official visits last weekend, they just got the brothers from one from Texas and the other one just signed as well. They say they have a couple of silents that are going to pop for early signing day. And this is like literally on the defensive side of the ball. And by February, those recruits will be focusing on the offensive side. So they're literally loading up. They're loading up three offensive linemen are signing up as well. So while Mullen may not be the ace recruiter, his staff is literally doing the work. And
yeah, that's going to change.
They say Mullen works.
It's going to change.
So until the uphill, the SEC East is a whole different other battle, right? Because they can't be Florida.
I think Florida might actually be losing somebody to the South Carolina defensive coordinator staff if I'm not.
Okay.
I think that might be right. I think somebody on Florida staff is in the mix for a defensive coordinator job, but I could be wrong about that.
All right, we'll definitely verify it, and you'll definitely hear us talk about it. No, we'll definitely. Yeah, I was gonna say, Jensen. Yeah, look, I know it. I love it, man.
I'm not an eye doctor type with inside sports. But I do have a little bit of in with coaches, and I'm not going to go as far as that, but I'm from Memphis. So you can maybe guess who that is. So I'm just going to leave that on the table there.
Okay.
There we go. And on that note, we'll wrap.
Every time we do the sources from Memphis, surface about Norvell, we got it from Jan.
Just let y'all know. Yeah, peek behind the
just
curtain.
Throw me under the bus. It's fine. My guy was like, I see your social media. Can you not just stop saying it's going to be Norvell? Stop saying it's going to be Norvell. I do have to, you know, maybe keep quiet a little bit. But
Gotcha, gotcha. So, hey, listen, you've just heard the Listen Up podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. As always, we thank you for listening, and we're out.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook it with the Brooklyn Boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Flow Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the f*** you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open a hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You